Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, your soon-to-be extra-sexy Canadian Prime Minister. That's right, John Wayne, myself. More on that later. Great to be here. Thank you. I'm in the Library of Evil, which is nestled in the east wing of Wayne Manor. Good to be back after a long week of traveling. Great time. Got back from BizarroCon this morning. That's all what we're talking about today. That's going to be in the recap. But I just got home Tuesday morning. I'm recording this Tuesday afternoon, nighttime, getting it out. So thank you for bearing with me on that. I've had a great time. And I can't wait to tell you all about it. But the top of the show, before I forget, my new book, As Seen on TV from Grindhouse Press, comes out this Friday, January 19th. Please pick it up. Check it out. I'm very, very proud of this. Serial killer obsessed with As Seen on TV products. He has a strange little man move in next door to him, and he starts to wonder if there might be some other thing intervening with him not being caught in all his years as a serial killer. So it's full of popcorn and blood and special cleaning wands that get, you know, more powered up, and the secrets are unlocked, and it's just fantastically fun, I think. Anyway, so check it out. Also, on the 19th, if you listen to other podcasts, which you should be listening to, this one, The Horror Show with Brian Keene, I will be on there on Friday. He interviewed me this weekend at BizarroCon. It was amazingly badass and awesome. So if you listen to the Horror Show, check it out on Friday. If you don't, subscribe to it. Check out the episode. It was a really good interview. Keane's pretty badass at interviewing. I gotta say, man, he like had all this research done, and it was a great time. So please check that out. Please check out my new book. It'll be on Amazon and Kindle, and once I get some in the old John Wayne is Dead shop, I'll let you know. You can order it right from me. But check it out. I'd like to have a big splash on this one right out the gate. Anyway, so like I said, I've been at BizarroCon in the wonderful world of Portland, Oregon for the past week at BizarroCon, and I had a most excellent time, and that's really been my whole week, so I don't really want to recap any parts of my week that I'm already going to talk about in the story. The only thing I really did was, did I get my inspection done? Maybe I did that before I left for BizarroCon. Yeah, just normal stuff, you know. It's not all flash and grit potatoes all the time. Sometimes it's, you know, subtle flows of watery streams through our minds. Anyway, I think what we'll do is go just right into our tarot reading. Today, as you know or don't know, every week I do a 3-card tarot reading on myself, where I just write down my thoughts and what's going on, and while I think about those while I'm shuffling up the cards, and then just kind of re-examine those through the prism of these fine and fancy cards that some people think are of the devil. The devil! So this week I was thinking about today, all balance, always balance in all parts of my life. How to use the things that I've learned and continue to learn effectively, as far as traveling, doing cons, promoting myself, selling myself in my books, and then smart choices I put. And I think that's just been a reoccurring thing. I wanna have the insight to make smart choices right off the bat rather than messing them up. So I know there's a lot of experience involved in that anyway, but I've had some. But I just wanna, you know, be aware, more keen on being able to make the right choices, smart choices. So, and I think I got a good reading based on these thoughts in this week. So number one, Wheel of Fortune. Vanna is not on this card anywhere. Vanna White, who rest in peace, was they found her in Geraldo found her in Al Capone's vault, and that's where we leave her. So the Wheel of Fortune reminds you that life is always in a state of change, constantly. You can be up one day, the best thing ever, and then, you know, you're going to dip back down and go up, and that is inevitable. How you prepare yourself for those things, using what you've learned to get through hard times and good times, is essential during this. It's a constant learning experience. Also, what goes around comes around. The Wheel of Fortune is also known as the Wheel of Karma, which, of course, you know, we know what that is. What you put out there is coming back to you. And this is just a reminder that in all aspects of your life, this applies. It's not just what you would like it to, you know, apply a do unto others or a golden rule, however you want to look at it. It has to be across all of these aspects. The wheel is also like telling you to cherish your good moments. Cherish them because, not because they'll be gone soon or because the wheel will turn and you'll be, you know, down a down moment. Yes, those are true, but I think it's important to cherish the good things as they happen in the moment, not just to draw back on, you know, yes, draw back on them. If you need a motivation, or, you know, you're just lost your way for a little bit, it's important to look at the things, and because that'll guide you out of the forest, kind of. You're like, no, I did this once. I did this already. I can get back, you know? And those good moments are like the beacon that can pull you out of the darkness. God, does that sound like a cheesy Batman line or something? I don't know. I'm on no sleep. Where was I? Be optimistic and trust the universe to take care of you. Keep an eye out for synchronicities and signs. And I think that's just saying, be aware of your surroundings. You know, things, you're out there doing your thing, and the universe is recognizing that you're working hard and you're doing it. You're doing everything it takes to make it happen. And just for you to be aware of signs that it's happening, that it's working, that you are succeeding, so that you don't get just like, ah, fuck it, you know, everything sucks. You know, you be optimistic. The universe is taking care of you. Cherish your good moments. You're going back on that. You will go in positive directions if you grow. And that's important to grow. Growth, you know, is very important. I don't know. This says it great. Positive things. You know, if you're not growing from day to day, year to year, you're not using what you've learned to better, you know, get better at something, or change your mind about something, or just better your yourself and your quality of life. If you're not using that, if you're not doing that, you're not growing like that. Of course, you're not going to go anywhere. You'll be stagnant. You're not going to go in a positive direction. You probably will go backwards. Be open to help. The people who are offering you help want to see you succeed. So in other words, you know, that could be one of the signs that the universe is whatever is putting out there. You know, somebody's like, hey, I want to help you out with this, or let me give you this so you can do that, and let me take care of this for you. Those people want you to succeed. You don't need to feel weird about it or reject their help, I guess. This could be a critical turning point. Opportunities you never imagined may be becoming available to you. But that kind of is like the cherry on top if you're able to follow all these other things. Maybe just reminding, you know, yourself that this is a good time, but be prepared if it falls. I'm not trying to say like everything time you go up, you go down and up and down. It just is you're going to have hard times eventually. I think it's just a mindset. Like, okay, here it comes, seeing it, recognizing that that's happening. Maybe if it's just a depression that comes on, like that's something I can relate to. If I'm feeling like, you know, I'm going into a little point of like half, you know, I'm just feeling down. You know, I can remind myself, I can see it coming. I can be aware of the signs. I can see it coming. Trust that I'm going to get out of it because I've gotten out of it before. Use the beacon of my cherished good moments to get me out of it. So that's a really good goes around, comes around thing in the most nutshell of explanations. Next card, I got Seven of Pentacles. And I wrote down that, you know, basically this is saying you don't need, you do the work that's needed for long-term rewards. You know what to do. You're not looking for an easy way. You're going to do all the work and do it the highest of your ability, because you seek long-term rewards from that. You have your eye on the prize, basically. You're not into wasting any time on outside activities. You know, that could be the kind of outside activities I don't like being outside. Or it could be outside activities from your, from what your long-term success goal is. That's really not giving you, that's not helping you out on that path. Step back and celebrate what you've created and assess your progress. Are you on the right track? This is something I need to get better at. I definitely am a nose to the ground. Okay, I did that. What's next? You know, type of thing. But I think it's important to step back. It's important to look and be like, you know what? I did do this. That also feeds into, you know, the Wheel of Fortune during the down times. That can help you to get out of it. Step back, assess what you've done. Is this low point really that bad in comparison to all of these high points that you've had along this path that you're walking? You know, I think that you get a little perspective that way. You see it. It can pull you out of the depression or help you out, get your mindset on track. If this is a long-term, so while you're on this long-term path, again, it says just avoid getting into anything that is not helping your goal. Recognize that you are, you know, this could be something you like and you think it's cool, but you know what? You know, it's taking away from what you're trying to do, and it might be time just to step away from that. Next card I got, Six of Pentacles. So seven, then six. So Six of Pentacles is the wealth. This is kind of like a wealth representation of a wealthy man who is standing there with all his riches, and he's very happy. And it's a card saying, you know, this is a time of financial success for you, so give to others. However, like, and I'm like, yeah, where is that financial success again? But it's more than that, because it's saying to give back what you can, not just in a fiscal sense, not just in any kind of monetary or giving things of monetary value. Give back what you can, and if what you can give back is a conversation about your experience that helps somebody that's, you know, trying to do what you do or just needs help with something you have experience with, then that is value. That is valued. And that will come back to you threefold, is what this says. I don't know. I don't know. Don't check me out on the math here. You know, I don't know threefold. I don't even know how you multiply something like that, you know. But I don't want to get hung up on math. It's just, you know, give back what you can. It's not always going to be money. It doesn't ever have to be money. It could be your time as well, not just a conversation, a time to just help someone or be there for someone. You know, you people know what I'm talking about. But this is, you know, this is saying this could be a time of financial harmony and the flowing in and out of, you know, money and investments will be balanced. And I actually wanted to read that so I could speak it into existence for myself. So yeah, that was a good reading for me as far as applying to what I'm talking about today, which is my trip to my sixth ever BizarroCon. So we're gonna just get right into it. This is it, my recap on BizarroCon. Which one was this? 11, I think. Yeah, this is the 11th BizarroCon, and I am the sixth one. So here we go. So I wanted to take a second to explain what BizarroCon is for those of you who don't know or haven't heard me talk about it before. It is not the kind of convention that I talk about a lot that I go to, such as Days of the Dead. I'll be at that next week. You know, or, you know, the Jekyll and Hyde or whatever scares the care. It's not like that. It's not a vendor convention where there's tables and you're tabling with your books. It's more about there's workshops and panels. It's about learning and meeting people, networking, becoming just creatively recharged from all this energy that's creative energy around you from all these people. And these people are a bunch of weirdos. Bunch of crazy weirdos. Cerberus, calm down out there, boy. But what this is it's in Portland, Oregon, and it was started by Eraserhead Press, which is in Portland, and they are the flagship press for Bizarro Fiction, which, if you don't know what that is, I've written several Bizarro books myself, and even though I'm going more in the horror way now, I haven't lost that Bizarro sensibility to what I do. I think it still comes through in its ways, but Bizarro is that it's the cult section at your local video store. What's a video store, Grandpa Wayne? Well, back in the days before streaming. Anyway, it's like just the cult stuff, weird, you know, surreal, absurd, gross, cringeworthy sometimes, like, not that it's so, it's bad, but what you're reading, it just makes you, like, it's so visceral. It's all this stuff that you just wouldn't expect. You know, once I found this existed, this really set me on the right track. So that's what Bizarro is. Anyway, you can check it out, bizarrocentral.com. But this convention goes on, and writers and artists of, you know, all kinds of different mediums, majority writers who write Bizarro fiction and horror and other related genres, just get together. We take over this boutique hotel called the Edgefield, which is owned by a company called McMenamins, who, and that's just fun to say, McMenamins, you know, they distill their own spirits and have them brew their own beer and all that kind of thing. And there's different building, and it's really kitschy. It's mostly, it's like a white people thing. I'll just go ahead and put that out there. It's got a golf course and, you know, walking around paths and fires and good times with friends and family. And we take it over, and we put the little bit of weird in there. A lot of it, actually. And, you know, this being my sixth time going in, I gotta say, it felt different. Excitement wise, I was excited. It was just a different excitement. I felt, I guess, maybe there was a little bit more of confidence walking into this one, only because I know what this is about. I know what's going on here. I know what to expect. This ain't my first rodeo, and I don't know. I think it's just, you're just at ease. Your energy is like high, positive, and even, because you're there. Honestly, I can't wait to see my friends and then meet new people and kind of show them what it's all about, you know. And that's kind of, I was ready for that. I didn't. Let's just start. I get into Portland on Wednesday. The great and powerful Danger Slater picks me up. We go to his house, hang out. We kick it, of course, just chilling like we do. I bought some Silver Bullets, Coors Lights, and I had to drink about 17 of those Dr. Peppers. No, I had a few of those because we were waiting to go back to the airport and pick up this dude, Diego, from Colombia. And shouts out, Diego. He's an awesome dude. He is starting a Bizarro publishing house down there. I wish I could remember what it was called. But the good news is he's going to be working with my other good friend, Hugo, who I talked about last time BizarroCon. I met him. He's an awesome guy. Love him to death. He is from Spain, and he runs Orsini Press, which is the first Bizarro press out there. He started that, and it's doing well. And a lot of our, you know, he's translating a lot of our books that are going there, and they'll be on both of those presses. They'll share translations. It's very exciting. Danger has a book. One of his books is being translated there right now. So we picked him up. And he's a really cool guy. We were going to party at Garrett Cook's house, that their traditional kind of pre-party. and he just fell right in line, man. He was good to go. Okay, man, we partied. John Skip, who, you know, as you know, wrote The Light at the End, even the Nightmare on Elm Street 5 script, which was, you know, massacred and taken away from him and changed, and, you know, just all kinds of great things, though. Tales of Halloween, which is on Netflix right now, you should check it out. And all these kind of, all kinds of great books was there. He now lives in Portland, so he's there at Garrett's house. You know, he's one of the roommates there, one of the roomies. You know, they're all living in there, a couple few people, and it's great talking to Skip, man. I've loved the shit out of him in a big bad way. But we stepped outside at one point to smoke a joint, and he, you know, we're out there talking. It's myself and maybe two other people. I can't recall right now who was out there with us, but Bert Stanton speaking. He might have been out there, pretty sure. But we smoked this joint. You know, we get to talking, and Skip's telling stories, and it's, you know, that's always fun. And he takes out a cigarette, starts smoking a cigarette. And, you know, and I don't smoke cigarettes, you know, anymore. You know, I did it for a little bit maybe, but, you know, I'm done with it. I just like to smoke my weeds and my grandpappy's medicine, which I do have, and a glass of wine with me. I forgot to mention that at the top, so don't worry. But Skip is like he starts to chain smoke one after another and talking, and I am freezing my ass off. It's like in the 30s. It's windy as fuck. Like, there's some crazy wind thing going on in Portland. So that was fun. And finally I was like, Skip, I just gotta go inside. I'm sorry, I'm so cold. You know, and then we had to go back to the airport shortly after that, like 11. We left the party to pick up Michael Allen Rose and Saadet Amir, the lovely and wonderful duo of our friends and family members. And we all went back to Danger's house. We were all tired as fuck. I had traveled 12 hours it took me to get to Portland from Houston. I had to take three different I flew from Portland to Atlanta, or no, from Houston to Atlanta, Atlanta to Salt Lake City, Salt Lake City to Portland. I was exhausted. They were exhausted because they got in so late. So we all were just like, fuck, crash. You know, next day we get up, we enjoy a nice breakfast. We all enjoy each other's company. We go to the weed store to get stocked up. Go to the grocery store and grab some supplies, and boom, we head to the Edgefield, ready to go. And, you know, right off the bat, we check in. I go upstairs to the hostel where I like to stay, and open the door, and I see who's smiling, shining, happy, cute face do I see? Maxwell Bauman, my little man that I love. Little man, I don't know. You're not little. You're probably taller than me. But I just, because you're like the young, you know, whippersnapper. This guy came up to me like his first year, 3 years ago, and I was sitting by Adam Millard at the bar having a beer, and he just came up behind us and tapped us on the back and was like, hey, you guys look like you're here for BizarroCon. That's what I'm here for. My name's Maxwell Bauman. You know, he gives us his hand and we shout. I was like, this kid's like the cut of his jib. And now he's doing great. He's got a book out through Clash, which I picked up, and it's called the Anarchist's Kosher Cookbook. Okay, sorry, something Jewish. I knew that was in there. He's a great guy. It's great to see him. I was like, all right, this is cool. It's begun. Give him a good hug. Throw all my shit in there and like, all right, let's go see what's going on. Let's stock the grounds, if you will. So you start walking around and you start running into everybody you know. You're just, oh, it's so good to see everyone. You're hugging. You're having a great time. And Thursday's really just about like kind of like everyone gets in and it's just kind of catching up and hanging out. You know, they do like an opening ceremony that Rose O'Keefe, who runs Eraserhead, does at the place where we all congregate. It's called the Ad House. I don't know why. But she'll give it the ceremony and, you know, we all just kind of chat and just like socialize, and you talk to all the new people or talk to your old friends. And it was just tons of fun. I was so excited, especially to see my fellow Canadians, Sam Reeve and Peter, I don't know, last name omitted. They're Canadian and I love them. And you know, and I think that I've spoke about this before, but I did take a bath with five Canadians last year, which did give me dual citizenship, and I reaffirmed it this year. I'll tell you about that later. But they were, I was excited to see them. Sam Richard, excited to see him. I mean, all these people, it was fantastic. So you just kind of are overwhelmed and, But I stayed up late, like super late too, and finally went to bed. Get up the next day, and I don't have any panels or any classes, so I just like, I'm gonna hang out, you know. And I took a walk with another fellow writer, Chris Lesko. He's got a lot of cool books out, Roxy being one of them that I got last year, and he and I just walked around the property. He showed me this statue of Jerry Garcia that I never knew was there in all these times I've been there. And it's not just like a smiling statue of Jerry Garcia. It's this weird, abstract, kind of like his face is appearing in smoke. It's a very cool, very cool sculpture. There's all these little hidden things in it when you look at it. But we walked around there. I smoked a joint, he didn't smoke. We had coffee and talked. And those are like important things. Those little interactions, those small, you know, connections, those are important, you know. You need those. So that was great. And I think I had a reading that day, so I went and watched the readings, some, you know, whatever was going on in front of me, and it was great. And I got up there and did mine. I felt good. I read from Scummer. I did the pretty much the same reading I did at Scares at Care, because I know that As Seen on TV is coming out this Friday, and I know that was coming out, but I had Scummer there to sell, so that's why I read from that book, and they sold out there at the convention, so there. Take that! Because as I mentioned, they don't have vendor tables, they just have something called the Book Nook. So the authors, you know, you bring your inventory of books in, you know, they have it entered into a system, and the volunteers work the Book Nook. And it's just kind of open for several hours, you know. This year was only one day. It's usually two of the days, I think. Maybe it was 2 days. I don't know. But yeah, you can walk in there and look at all the books and just buy books. So that's how a way for you to make a little bit of money while you're out there at Bizarro Con, since you're not vending or anything like that. And it gives people the chance to get all of these kind of genre fiction books in one place from all these different authors. So it's really a cool thing. I, you know, did my reading. It was awesome. Hung out, I think Sam and this guy Mark I met. We went to this whiskey shack that they have. Like I said, this place has got a ton of property with all these little things. Just this little wooden shack that's out on a hill that only has whiskey, which is great. And we sat there and had like three whiskey drinks, just talking and all cutting up. Again, these are the important things. These are the important moments you can lose sight of a little bit if you're trying to run to panels and run to this and that, which are great. You need those too. But I definitely wanted to do something a little bit different with that. Friday also, that's when Brian Keene pulled me into his grand control room and interviewed me for the horror show, which I talked about at the top of the show. He found out my book was coming out on Friday. He's like, "Oh, we gotta get you in here and interview me, man." And it was awesome. He pulled me in there. We had a great chat. You know, it was very comfortable to talk, you know, sit there and talking to him. And it was about 42 minute interview, and it went pretty well, and I'm excited to hear it. So again, check that out, and check out Keene's work, man. He's one of my favorite horror writers out there, and he's definitely knows what he's doing, and he's one of the best. So check him out, and check out the horror show with me. One more shameless plug. But that was a big deal. That was a really big deal to me. I was like, holy shit. You know, I wasn't like freaking out, but maybe on the inside I was a little bit, man, this is really cool. This is a really cool thing. And it was. I was like pretty much one of the highlights. For me. Smash cut to Friday night. That's the night that they do the readings from Eraserhead Press, their books that are coming out that year, or have come out in the past year, I guess. So these performances you don't want to miss, because they're all big, and everyone's basically like big dicking it up there with just the best performance and all kinds of like weird things, inventive. It's a definitely an experience. My man David Barbie did one. It's not even like a really a reading. You don't read out of your book. It's a performance, a weird interpretive performance of your work in any way you want. But Barbie did a reading, Retired the frog butt that he licked all the time in his past readings. Rest in peace. But I gotta say, man, the winner for me, the standout was Andrew Wayne Adams, aka Andy Wayne Adams. He put a new collection out, and I picked it up, which I can't remember the name of it right now. But he did this thing called Grindcore Werewolf, where he was like a lawyer, and he got attacked by a wolf on the way to court, and he's like slowly turning into a werewolf as he's trying to argue this case. And it was really cool the way he did it. I mean, he had his clothes made, his suit made to where he could rip certain parts off of it, and it looked like the hair was like growing out of his back, like he had ripped the jacket. It was very cool, man. I don't know if you're listening, Andy, but shouts out. That was awesome, awesome performance. Check out his stuff. And then The Slow Poisoner plays a set, Andrew Goldfarb. And then I played. I got up there, played like 5 songs, and gave up the helm and said, see you on the flip side, my friends. Actually, I don't know what I did. I definitely didn't go. Oh, we all went to get something to eat, and then we're chatting into the night. You know, talking to Carlton Mellick III, and talking a lot with Sam and Peter. And then it's just kind of like, man, it gets away from me. Before you know it, it's like 2:30 in the morning, and you're like, fuck. So Friday was great, and it's the beer night too. Jason Rizzo's brews. He brews his own beer. He has a brewery called Funhouse Brews up in Portland. He's doing pretty well. And he brews a special beer for each of the books that people did their readings from. And he had a pepper one last year that I really enjoyed, and he had another pepper, like a Kolsch IPA. I don't know what it was now, but I mean, it had the last year had ghost peppers in it. It was tingly and it was good. And this one had different kind of peppers in it, but it would like linger on the back, like peppery on the back of your, you know, tongue, and you'd get a little pepper on my lips, pepper pots. And I liked that one quite a bit. And then there was another IPA that he did for Andy Wayne Adams' book that I was drinking too. That was great. Great beers, great performances. And he got a cool-ass pint glass for this year, like always. And that was it. And then Saturday. Saturday is the big... Well, Friday night, I guess this happened. Wait. No. Saturday night. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I lost track of myself. Grandpa's medicine is good today. So Saturday we get up, and Saturday is the day, everyone knows, of the Wonderland Book Awards and the Ultimate Bizarro Showdown, which comes at the end of the night and is just a smorgasbord of weird and crazy performances, performance art pieces. It's just insane. But before that, throughout the day, I think I did go to, no, I didn't go to any panels. No. Oh, I went and drew in the artist block. Andrew Goldfarb is also he also works in different mediums as far as he paints, like a lot of velvet paintings. Which are rad as hell. And so he was doing a painting, Livrani Smith was doing paintings, or doing her wood carvings and stuff. Her stuff's badass. My man Jim McBalza was there. He's done a couple of my covers. And we were just drawing. It's just a block where you just draw and chat or do whatever your art medium is. And they display what you do later. But mine was like digital. I was just doing it on my iPad, so I didn't do anything. But I got to sit down with Peter. Now, my buddy Peter, who's from Canada, he I know I talked about this before, maybe last year, but he started drawing furry porn over the last 2 years and has grown it into where that's his job. That's how he supports himself. He gets commissions. He showed me this thing. It's fucking crazy. He gets these commissions from people who want him to like draw their personality. Their personality or persona, that's what it's called. Them as their persona in some like comic thing that he lays out or some kind of scene, and they bid to have their characters put in, and he'll, that's how he makes the money, man. It is great. He's great. He showed me a lot of what was like called transformative ones, which is so weird, where, you know, these are anthropomorphized animals with these just huge cocks. I mean, just big ass hogs hanging always. And there's like, you know, this one where these two guys, they're whatever, two thing furry men are in the shower, and like, you know, others walk in and they start like soaping each other up and putting it in their butts, and as they're banging them, the furry that the other one's banging behind like starts to shrink and shrivel and like become all deformed, and it basically becomes the other furry's dick. It's weird. I don't know. I don't know, but you gotta see it. The way he does is very charming. It's very charming. He's great, and he was doing demonstrations on his pad that he uses, his digital drawing device, to people. He was just like, he had sketches that he already done that he could show you how to color and shade. It was awesome. So he showed me some stuff on his, and we figured out some different stuff on my iPad on Procreate. And it was great. It was great. Ultimate Bizarro Showdown. I'm just gonna smash cut to that. The Wonderland Book Awards. I forget who won them, but they were great. They well deserved. But the new Bizarro, or no, the Bizarro Ultimate Bizarro Showdown. There's like 16 people that are competing, if you will, and there was 5 judges, and you get up and you do some weird performance, and you get judged on just criteria that nobody really knows, and at the end that somebody wins, they tally it up somehow. So my whole thing, this is my third time doing it, and my whole thing was to deconstruct the Ultimate Bizarro Showdown. By that I mean I wanted to just like point out what like all the common tropes were, and what you needed to do to win the Ultimate Bizarro Showdown, since I'd seen like, you know, 6 of them. So I go up there, I do this whole presentation. I'm like, you know, I've seen 6, I've seen the best, I've seen the worst. I know what I'm talking about. Listen to me, because I'm not here to win the showdown. I'm here to show you how to win the showdown. So first thing I did was I was like, you know, one thing that is often talked about but never acted upon is bribing the judges. You're allowed to bribe the judges. It's encouraged. So Brian Keene and Robert Devereaux were judges, and I gave them each a whiskey. So I had this all off to the side I already bought. Gina Rinaldi was a judge, and I gave her, I found out what kind of beer she was drinking and got one of those for her. John Skip, I gave him a pre-roll joint, of course. And Jennifer Robin, I ripped a page out of my personal notebook, notepad that I take all my notes on, and gave it to her because she's, you know, this ray of light, performance artist above all this, probably type of competition. So I gave her that. And then I said, you know, basically the next thing, I was like, okay, now I need everyone to raise your hands. They did. I was like, and everybody clap once, and they did. And I was like, all right, that's the participation part. It's kind of annoying, but everyone kind of has to do it, so it's over. That's good. And then I was like, never underestimate the power of nudity. And I took off my shirt, and, you know, I was like, woo. And I was like, and if you think you've pushed it too far, you haven't. And I just undid my pants, and they fell down, and I was wearing little mantis, like, looked like I was sparring Brazilian jiu-jitsu or something. And so now I'm standing in my underwear, and it's like a woo, going crazy type thing. And then I said, and everybody here is a writer, But when you come up here to read something, it's always something stupid or something that's not even yours. So I'm going to read you this email from a convention that I recently got rejected from. And I read that email that I read last week that they sent me from SpaCon. And then after I was done with that, I was like, never underestimate the power of the gross out factor. And in this mason jar, I had filled it with a baby doll parts, like a head at the bottom and then a bunch of arms and legs. And then I filled it with raspberry jam and like a little fruit cup, like a fruit cocktail cup with little chunks of fruit and shit. And I put that in there and sealed it up and then shook it up really good. So it was just like these doll parts floating in this red, you know, congealy looking sludge. And I wrote a big label on the front and taped it to it that said abortion. So I pulled out this jar and I held it up to everyone to see, and people start reading. They're like, oh, ha, well, my, oh. And I was like, yep, that's right. This jar says abortion on it. I'm pretty sure I'm hitting a lot of key topics on this one. So I opened up the jar and I reach in, take one of the arms out, and I put it in my mouth and suck the jam off, and it's people are going nuts. It's great. And then I was like, and the most important thing you can do, wild card. Peter Dale, get up here. Of course, I just talked about Peter. He's awesome. He gets up there with like a penis bottle cap opener and just tries to shove it into my mouth. And then that was it. And I didn't officially place, but I tied for fourth with Sam Reeves from Canada as well, with her performance, which was great. I thought her performance was better than mine. She should have won, and I should have taken a hike. I said I didn't want to win. Anyway, it was great. It was fun. It turned out a lot better than I thought it would, and I had a lot of fun doing it. What I also had a lot of fun doing was that night after the party, I went and put my Canadian friends to bed with a fine bedtime story, where I went into the room and Sam and AJ, I forgot, shouts out AJ was there, and Peter, and then my Caleb, who I badass, shouts out Caleb. Caleb was New Bizarre Author Series last year, and he came to Printer's Row with us. So they're all sharing a room, right? And there's two beds, so they're like two in each bed. And one of the things that Sam had brought for her performance was a calendar of just Justin Trudeau pictures, the Prime Minister of Canada, and it says my Canadian boyfriend Justin Trudeau is what it was called. So I opened it up and I sat on the foot of the bed and just started like basically telling them a bedtime story using the calendar. And I was just making up as I went along, you know, looking at that picture, and I was like, gather all children and you shall see a pale white man with abs great as can be, you know, just like going off like about how Justin Trudeau is my Canadian girlfriend. And there'd be some quote at the bottom of each one that says, he loves his puppies and milk. I don't know, something stupid like that. And I would use that as the prompt for the next month. And I just kind of like free flowed with it and talked, just did it. But I didn't ever stop or break character. And when I was done, I just like said, and good night, I love you all, and walked out of the room. And I think that was what it was. Then they just went to sleep. That was great. I had a lot of fun with that, and apparently, they liked it a lot too. So it was very cool. And you know, Sundays are the lazy day. There's not a lot going on. You know, John Skip does a film block that was pretty badass. It's a bunch of shorts, like bizarro short films, and he's going to, I think he's supposed to post the list of what they were and who had done them, so that we could have that information to tell people and look up, because we didn't really have that in front of us. But the films were badass, and I'd like to share like information about some of them. So check out I definitely will when he posts that, because some of them are very much worth checking out. Just creepy as fuck. Anyway, that was that, and they have a closing ceremony, which I missed because I was trying to relax in my room because I was so tired. But you can't really relax in the hostel during the day because people are in and out. And that's that. I went, played, you know, we hung out in the ad house. Most people have gone by then. It just wind, you know, wind down, and I went to bed early. I was tired. And the next day, you know, checked out. We headed out back to Danger's house to hang out. Basically just decompressed and talked about the, you know, talked about our time with everyone. Had some badass pizza at this place called Sizzle Pie. I thought it was good. I don't know. But it was very Satan-y themed, and it was kind of, that was kind of cool. You could get a pentagram put on your pizza for a dollar. Like, after they make it, they put it with any kind of sauce you want. It was pretty sweet. And great beer and great happy hour specials. But I flew out last night, so I had to fly out Monday night, and I was leaving at 10:30. So right now, all this crazy shit's going on with the government being shut down, and the TSA is like, not showing up to work and all this shit. So there's a bunch of backups, and I didn't think I would have one that late at night. And I was like, oh man, you know, what time should I leave? And you know, Danger didn't think it'd be a problem to even leave like at 9, because they live so close to the place. My flight boarded at 9:55, and then Katie texted me about like, oh, have you seen these lines? You make sure you get there early. No, stressing me out. So I got him to get there a little earlier there than 9, and everything turned out to be fine. I got right through security, no problems, and settled in for the 5-hour flight to Atlanta. It's hard to sleep on a plane, man. Like, it's just uncomfortable. But you know, I managed to sleep on and off here and there. Then I got to Atlanta and I had to, you know, hour and a half to chill there, and then 2 hours back to Houston. And here I am. And, oh, before I left, just tease some things out there. You know, I talked to some people who might be interested in putting out a little John Wayne stuff there. So look for that. Maybe something's happening. And, you know, when I got home, like I said, Katie picked me up. My wife, she's so wonderful, picks me up from the airport at 9:30 this morning. I'm exhausted. She's got an egg sandwich made for me, wrapped up all nice in saran wrap. She's got a yogurt, a coffee, a seltzer water, and a pipe of weed. Just fantastic. I think I said that at the beginning of the show. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. It's important to say it again. She takes really good care of me, and she brought me home, and, you know, I just pretty much passed out for most of the day. And that's it. Now I'm here to do this. So it was a great time at BizarroCon this year. It was different than other years. I'll say that each year is a little bit different. I'll say that for sure. This year, just going in, I felt different. Just felt a little bit different. Felt good. Good different. And, you know, I highly value all the interactions I had with people, the connections I made with new people, reconnecting with people I haven't talked to in a while. You know, all that stuff is, I mean, I'll say it again, that's truly what the important thing is here, you know. You know, yeah, we want to share our art, we want to share our books, and we want to get people interested in that. And, you know, and we are there for that, and we're there to network with people that we, so we can help each other out. But those interactions with each other, those are the important things. That's if nothing else, that you got to have that. That's what I would say. So I have to say, my 6th BizarroCon, the 11th BizarroCon overall that has been had, a great success. So there. All right, there you go. BizarroCon recap. You know, another weird thing about that is, you know, BizarroCon was in January this year. It's usually always in November, but we had to move the event because there was all these stupid weddings going on in November and we couldn't get the space we needed. So it was in January. So there's another weird thing about it, but I think that we're back on track this year to be in November again. But if not, I didn't mind going in January. It was fine. So thank you all for coming around again. I appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe and tell your friends to subscribe. Pass out the words, if you will. Remember, guys, my new book, As Seen on TV, about a serial killer obsessed with As Seen on TV products, comes out from Grindhouse Press this Friday. You can tune into The Horror Show with Brian Keene on Friday to hear me talk about it, amongst other things. check it out. It's you're not, you won't be disappointed. It'll be out on Amazon those days and Kindle, and then once I get some hard copies as well, I'll be, you know, sending them out from the John Wayne is Dead store. Speaking of that, go to johnwayneisdead.com to see all of the things I do and get access to all of them. Check out the shows page. It's got the shows that Chris Jett and I have coming up as John Wayne is Dead, and then I will, the conventions that I will be at coming up soon. Chris and I actually played this Saturday, which is the 19th, yeah, the day my book comes out, at Rudyard's here. So if you're in Houston, come to Rudyard's on Saturday and see us play. It's going to be great. We haven't played at Rudyard's in a while, and I'm really stoked to be back there. Also, then next week, like I said, I go to Days of the Dead in Atlanta. Nick P and I and another adventure, David Barbie, will meet us out there at a table. It's going to be a grand old time. It'll be my birthday. Come say hey for my birthday, please. Don't forget to follow me at John Wayne is Dead on Twitter and Instagram, and my Facebook page, just my name, John Wayne Communale. Thank you all. If you've ever had any inkling about maybe attending BizarroCon and you haven't in the past, you know, like, should I? I don't know. You definitely should. I highly recommend it. You know, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, feel free to hit me up to ask me questions about it, or go to bizarrocentral.com, racerheadpress.com, Bizarro, I don't, it should be from there. Bizarrocentral.com should be able to help you. I recommend going, and thank you all. My new book comes out the 19th, as seen on TV.